You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good afternoon. Before we start, let me just introduce myself first. I am Matt and I'm one of the Victory Group leaders. It's an honor to be here standing in front of you. It's such an honor to be here preaching God's word. It's just a privilege to be here 3 p.m. service. You might be wondering where is Kuya Jairo. It's only if he has to take care of something. I'm not Kuya Jairo, so brace yourself. Let us proceed to our passage of scripture. I want you to open your Bibles in Genesis 26, verse 1 to 14. Now, there was famine in the land besides the former famine was in the days of Abram. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. Verse 2, and the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Verse 3, sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I have swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, so Isaac settled in Gerar. Verse 7, when the man of the place asked him about his wife, he said, she is my sister, for he feared to say, my wife, thinking lest the man of the place should kill him because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance. When he had been there for a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah and his wife. So Abimelech called Isaac, behold, she is your wife. How then could you say, she is my sister? Isaac said to him, because I thought lest I die because of her. Verse 10, Abimelech said, what is this that you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. So Abimelech warned and all the people, saying, whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. And Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Now the Lord has blessed him, and the man became rich, very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants, so that the Philistines covered and envied him. Before anything else, we are now in a second series of our installment called Unchanging. As we all know that this is the continuation of our series, Unwavering. We are looking at the life of the patriarchs, and last week, Kuya Jairo preached powerfully about the birth and binding of Isaac. Now today, you are in for a treat because last week, we have talked about faith. Now we are going to talk about blessings. Before anything else, allow me to submit this to everyone as we talk about blessings. Let me just pop the bubble a little bit. I hope and I pray as we talk about blessings, we will have a right mindset about this one. As we talk about blessings, I hope and I pray that we will not be only after the blessings. Because human as we are, sometimes we tend to love the blessing more than the blesser. Now, my prayer for the next 45 minutes that we will have a right mindset towards approaching this text, that we will not only obey because of His blessings, but we will obey God because that's who He is and that's what He deserves. I have to say that with a smile, all right? As tasked to be on the pulpit, my job here is not to stir up your emotions or to warm your hearts today. My job here is to speak the truth in love in line with the gospel. And if you are here right now and you still have that kind of mindset about blessings, now let me tell you this, you missed. Just for you to know, you might be reading this one and it seems so familiar. Because, yeah, that's right. Genesis 21 corresponds to Genesis 12. And when you are reading Genesis 26, it's like reading the same book with a different character. Genesis 26, verse 1 to 2. Now, there was famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Now, I want you to take a look at this one. I want you to focus on verse 1 to 2 because we're going to focus on that one, the word famine and the word go down to Egypt. Famine. This is famine. Famine is tagtuyot, El Nino. Just like what we are experiencing, right? I just don't know if theirs is worse. But basically, that's the famine. I'm showing that to you for us to have a better perspective at what we're going to talk about today. Now, in verse 2, it says there, and the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt, dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. As I have said to you, focus on verse 1 to 2 because that is going to play a vital role in what we're going to talk about. It says here, do not go down to Egypt. There was a famine and the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Now, looking at this text, seems like Isaac planned it already. As we all know, last week we just have talked about how faithful God was in the life of Abraham. How faithful he was in the mountain when there was no lamb, when Isaac was about to be slain. But in the moment, God stopped him and said, no. And there was a lamb. Looking at this text, it's saying, if God's promise will fail, I go back to Egypt. That's the mindset of Isaac that time. And I just want to clarify that on you. Isaac just witnessed how faithful God was in the mountain when Abraham was sacrificing him. Despite Isaac witnessing that, he was still convinced that God would fail him. In short, there was still unbelief that is lurking inside of Isaac. Sometimes famine isn't that bad, right? I'm showing you this one because famine sometimes exposes the inner garbage of our hearts. Sometimes God allows famine to hit us to expose the inner garbage of our hearts. Friends, just because you are blessed doesn't mean that you are honoring God. Just because you are in famine doesn't mean that you are not honoring God. Famine is not an indicator if you are blessed or not. Now, I want you to look at verse 2. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. What is in Egypt that God is prohibiting us to go? Now, while I was studying this one, this is the question that I was trying to wrestle in. What is in Egypt that God doesn't want us to go? What is in Egypt that God is prohibiting us to go? I saw the answer in Hebrews 14, verse 24 to 26. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered that the reproach of Christ is greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. God was probably shaking. He said, Isaac, I already rescued you from Egypt. You were there crying, and now here you are. You want to go back? Maybe they were just so faithful in that slogan, ang taong gipit sa Egypt kumakapit. Maybe they were just so faithful in that slogan. I tend to wonder on that one. Now, I realize that, again, there was fleeting pleasures of sin, and there were treasures in Egypt. I want you to understand this one. God doesn't want you to go to Egypt because you will be comfortable, you will become dependent on yourself, you will not trust God, and you will trust and rely on yourself and not on God, and that's the most dangerous place to be in. That's the most dangerous place to be in. It has the tendency to rob you of your relationship with the Lord. And it has the tendency to damage your soul, friends. That's not the kind of life that God wants for you. Wag mo na balikan yung ex mo. Do not go back to your Egypt. 3 years na friends and ang iyang love letter na pa Japon mo. Move on! Focus on the promised land. Focus on the promises of God. Verse 3 to 5. Sojourn in this land and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands and I will establish the oath that I have swore to Abraham. Wow! Now God is reaffirming his promise. Don't go to Egypt. I will be with you. I will establish the oath that I have sworn. You can actually see this pattern in the Bible. Every time God would command them, do not go to Egypt because I will be with you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. That has been the pattern in the Bible. You know why God always remind us? God would always say that I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's because we are forgetful people. We are forgetful people. And you know why we are forgetful? It's because we are ungrateful. God already rescued you in Egypt. Now, you want this kind of life that is for yourself only. It has been the pattern in the Bible that we would cry out to God. God would rescue us. We will forget and we will rebel. Then we will cry out again to God. And God will rescue us again. And then we will rebel and forget, just like you are. When there is abundance, you tend to forget about God. When you are crying, you are always there crying out to God. And how many here can thank God that God is always there? God is always there. I just want to give you a brief context about verse 6. Now, let me just tell you, take note of this one. Verse 6, This is the verse that our preaching is hinged on. Without verse 6, there will be no 12 to 14. There would be no preaching today. So I want you to take note on that one. So Isaac settled in Gerar. As we have seen, God just have commanded him not to go down to Egypt. And you stay there in Gerar. At this time, Isaac settled in Gerar. This would have been the reaction of God at that time. Finally, Isaac obeyed. So this time, Isaac was already rising up. Man, I just made my way home downtown. I just made up the playoff run. Bigyan and Jacket, that's what have God felt when Isaac obeyed. Looking at this text, we can see that Isaac was already rising up. Now let's look at verse 7 to 8. When the man of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," for he feared to say, "my wife." When the man of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," for he feared to say, "my wife." Isn't that odd? Isaac obeyed in verse 6. You can feel the tension, right? Yes, Isaac obeyed. Now, here we are reading verse 7 right now. Isaac was now again doubting God. Isaac was now again lying. The lie that Isaac has in here is a byproduct of his doubt in God. Because it says here, when the man of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," for he feared to say, "my wife," thinking less of them should place kill me because of Rebekah, because he was attractive in appearance. He was already obeying God. He was already convinced, "Lord, you are faithful." But then, verse 7, he still lied. He still doubted God. There's actually two ways we can look at this verse: fear of Isaac and passiveness of Abraham. Now, fear of Isaac. When the man of place asked him about his wife, "She is my sister," for he feared to say, "my wife," thinking that the man of place should kill him because she was attractive in appearance. Why did Isaac disobey God? Because of fear. Because of fear. You know what, friends? Fear mocks faith. Fear mocks faith. When fear seizes all your ability to think rationally, evaporates, life becomes overwhelming, and the promises of God are thrown out the window. Now God is going, "You don't have to fear. You don't have to fear, friends. Whatever that you're going through, you don't have to fear, because you are love, and perfect love casts out all fear." You don't have to fear, friends. Another way of looking at this one, the passiveness of Abraham. This seems like a story of Abraham and Jesus reiterated today. Where do you think Isaac learned that trick? Genesis 12, verse 11, 13. Exactly the same things that happened. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, "I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me. But they will let you live." But they will let you live. Friends, look at this one. Maybe the reason why Isaac was able to do that is because he was able to witness that from his father. Your life is a ministry. What we tolerate, we would eventually embrace. I'm talking here as a son. I'm talking here as a kid of a parent. Parents, what you tolerate, we eventually embrace. It's more caught than taught. Friends, how you treat your house staff, maybe for some of you, it seems like wala rang na. We are like a sponge, and we are seeing that from your life. How you treat your neighbor, friends, how you treat those people who are not privileged in this life. We see that, friends. I don't know if you can relate this one. Parents in the house, ignaay maningil. "Mama, mama, naiga motor sa gawas. Dung, dung. Igna alayan nga wala o derebe." I don't know if you can relate on that one, but whatever you tolerate, we eventually embrace. What you embrace, we eventually embrace also. Now, parents, if you have been in Victory for quite some time now, you know that it has always been our mantra to change the campus and change the world, to change our nation. Parents in the house, we can't do it alone. You have a big role to play, because yes, we are always in church, but when we are in our family, you are the ones what we are seeing. So what you set as an example, that could also be what you set your values. That could also be your values. What you set your priorities, that could also be your priorities. What values are you imparting to your children? Parents, we can't do it alone. You have a big role to play. As I end, verse 12 to 13. Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants, so that the Philistines envied him. For short, the Lord blessed him. You know what this tells us, friends? Isaac planned to go to Egypt. He doubted God's ability to rescue him, to provide for him. He doubted God's ability to be there for him, that God will not forsake him, God will not leave him. You know what this tells us, friends? He planned to go to Egypt, doubted God, he lied, still the Lord blessed him. This might seem so cliche, this might seem the words or the phrase that you always see on Twitter, but this just strikes to the core, this just speaks a lot, man. In this story, what we can see is that even when we were unfaithful, God remained faithful. What a God. Even in our faithlessness, God remained faithful. I hope this would change how we look towards blessing and obedience. I hope that this would change our mindset towards blessing. I hope and I pray that that story, we already see in there that when we were faithless, God remained faithful. I hope and I pray that that will change our perspective, that this time we will not only be obedient because of the blessings, but we will be obedient because of who He is and because He deserves it. Talking about obedience is hard. Obedience is hard. You are here. You could have been somewhere else. And then God called you to be here. Pain in obedience is worth it. Perhaps this is what Jesus felt when He was out there hanging on the cross, when He was out there screaming, my God, why have you forsaken me? Painful, yes. Pain in obedience, but seeing you back, being reconciled to God, it was all worth it. And I hope and I pray, friends, that as we are here listening to this story, I hope and I pray that, again, we will have a different perspective. I hope and I pray that our response would be the same way with Jesus. I hope and I pray that even if God would not rescue you from where you are, you will still worship God because that's what He deserves. I hope and I pray that when you are in your lowest of lows and when you are in your famine and God will not rescue, you can say, Lord, I will still worship you, God. Even if God would not rescue us, we will still worship you, Lord. I hope and I pray that even when the fig trees don't grow, even when it will not blossom, we will still worship God. Friends, when we obey, it will never be a disappointment. Painful, but it will all be worth it. Join me in prayer.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.